Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Why do you assume it's my fault?
She was the one who... Let's just say I don't think either of us were completely right or completely wrong.
Oh, then you're well matched.
You don't believe she is inferior?
I'm the wrong man to ask. I married Talia over many strenuous objections, including yours, if I recall.
Surely you've forgiven my doubts by now. I couldn't see what you saw in her, nor could I understand the necessity.
At first, she was nothing more than an eager bedmate. I was unprepared the day I realized that whenever she left, I felt she had taken the best part of me with her.
Marla asked me if I had ever truly loved another.
I hope you said no.
I didn't know what to say. I still don't. The only thing of which I'm certain is that I cannot abide her displeasure.
Does she know that?
I fear she might.
As I said, well matched.
All right. Dan's super ready. Jesse's as ready as he's going to be. I'm going to push the
play. I'm super ready.
Okay, Jesse's declared himself. Yeah. Super ready.
Why are you laughing?
I'm not.
Dan's just excited because I clicked the clock.
I just thought of something interesting.
Oh.
I thought about
something. I'm intrigued. I thought he was just excited because I pushed start on the clock, and Dan was really kind of pushing it. Jesse had his hoodie up earlier for the audience. If there's any interest.
I thought it was too much.
Normally, Jesse doesn't wear his hoodie, but for some bizarre reason...
Because my hair is tied back.
Yeah, Jesse's got long flowing hair, and currently has it in a ponytail, and he had his hoodie up earlier.
Well, it's because I wore my balaclava last week. That's why.
Well, you did wear a balaclava last week.
And then before you wore that babushka.
These are things that the audience is not normally privy to because we don't currently have a video aspect to our podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, podcast.
And we never will.
Podcast. That's what we're doing. We're doing a podcast, and that podcast...
I almost forgot.
That podcast is the It's Got Star Trek podcast, and we welcome you to it.
It's got...
We are this world's new masters.
We are this world's new masters.
Monster.
You changed it up this week.
I did on accident.
No, it's okay. You can do whatever you want. I'm just noting.
Okay.
I'm noting.
Mark it down.
I've noted it for this week's... I keep a list of notes from all the episodes.
You've noted.
And I've noted
Has
that.
It been duly noted?
In Notepad +++.
I noted it in Notepad +++. I keep a running record of all the important notes from all the podcasts. And this week, my important note is that...
Okay. This better be good. There's going to be a good punchline here, right, Jesse?
I can't remember what I noted.
Yeah.
Oh, this time I'm noting that Patrick, he did the introduction a little differently, and that's okay.
That's right, yeah. Good. Now,
it's okay because I have Notepad +++.
I'm not certain what
Notepad +++.
What percentage of our audience will be familiar with Notepad +++? However,
we know at least one.
I think the funny voice is
we know Tarek is familiar with Notepad +++. Yes.
Tarek is definitely.
I know my brother Rob is familiar with Notepad.
So we've got
okay. So that's 50% of our audience.
Tarek, our old friend Tarek, your old brother Rob,
my old brother Rob,
older brother Rob,
old elder,
He's elder my brother, elder. Yeah. All right.
It's weird.
It is weird.
He's not that.
So, hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We are this world's new masters.
I don't even...
I was just testing it.
I know. Every week. That's like the new test every week. Yeah. It was short enough that I could do that.
Good.
This one. Sometimes it's not. Last week it was like 8.44 seconds. Yeah, that was too long.
You were very specific.
That was like probably about 4.73 seconds too long.
No. Jeez, yeah. Dude.
This is the It's Got Star Trek
podcast. You got to watch it.
We are this world's new masters.
This is episode 315.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
Damn, dude.
I realize that
Star Trek podcast.
I realize that every time you say the number every week, one of us is always like, oh my God.
I think it's always me.
I do it too, though.
Sometimes.
So this time I'm nonplussed about it.
Well, well.
Jesse, is that the proper usage of the word nonplussed? I'm still confused about that word.
I'm still confused about that as well. Jesse.
It's not a word I use.
Jesse will normally display some sort of like a positively tinted aghastness at the number of podcasts that we've done over the many years.
That's usually my role in the podcast.
Okay. Dan often releases sort of a sigh. A sigh of
I'm just
tiredness.
Like, oh, I'm so old.
Like, this is philosophical. Like,
okay, so
Jesus, how many of these things have we done?
So nonplussed. This is why I'm confused. Okay, the first definition, according to Google Dictionary from Oxford Languages, whatever, says surprised and confused so much that they are unsure how to react. Mm. Okay.
Okay.
But then the second one is not disconcerted, unperturbed.
Yes.
So those are two different, very differing.
That is one of those words that has those two. Oppositional definition.
That's a dumb way to have a word.
I know, right? Welcome to English.
Well, that's right. Welcome to English.
That's a dumb way to have a word.
Making me think of Will Smith in Independence Day.
Yeah.
When he welcomes.
Dear gods.
He welcomes the aliens to Earth.
And he punches them in the face.
Yeah.
When he welcomes them to Earth.
Yeah, he welcomes them to Earth. Okay,
that's
so
well said.
We have
Will said
a lot to cover in our
do we though
continuing coverage.
Do
our
we
continuing
though? Is it though
weekly? Oh no, are we? Do we have another?
I hope
no,
so.
Dan, it's been a little while, but Dan did invent this segment. Was it during Strange New Worlds, the Is It Though segment?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And then last week you invented Revisiting Jesse.
Jesse Revisited.
Oh.
And you've previously, long-standing Dan segments include That's an Order and
Duty
or No Duty.
Well,
why don't we right now, even before we say the title of the episode we're discussing this week, why don't we go through which of these things we can expect as fans
indeed
this week. So the audience and Jesse and I, we have no idea what Dan has on offer. Mm-hmm. Do you have any lists? Do you have any duty or no duties? Do you have
I
any?
I know he's got a list.
Is it those or Jesse Revisited or perhaps a new segment?
Maybe a should there be or shouldn't there
but
be?
But what difference would that make?
We just want to prepare the audience for what to expect as this podcast episode unfolds.
Okay. I do have. This list is like last week's list of just the different parts, although this one wasn't as easily summarized.
Just to clarify, this list is a similar model to the list you provided last week. You're not simply going to provide last week's list this week.
No, that would be a funny joke.
It's just a similar format of list.
Some sort of absurdist humor where you just decide to recount last week's list.
Think it's
this
already
week.
And if I did that, I would have be forced to go through the entire thing.
Indeed,
because like as soon as you get it, you'd be like, okay, haha, I got it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be funny. Unless I made it unfunny, and then it
wouldn't be funny to us.
And it might not even be like the type of thing where it becomes unfunny and then funny again. It might remain unfunny.
Yes.
But I would still be forced to do the whole thing. Otherwise, it's not a joke.
I think it might get fun.
Well, for us, it would be funny, but that would be a potential cruelty to our audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
it's not our business. We don't.
You like that one, do you?
We do not intend to be cruel to our audience. We do, in fact, aim to provide some degree of entertainment each and every week.
I'm learning that when it comes to you, it's folly to assume anything.
Okay, so you said a list similar to the one you provided last week.
It's just
which
called
was,
parts.
Yes.
Just and, parts.
But last week it was very easy to summarize because there were many parts and they, mm-hmm. they broke. It was a lot of, I think it was a lot of scene setting and
okay, yeah.
or what is it,
right.
world building or
right.
I don't, I don't know. Whatever.
I think, exposition,
so,
world building,
so they jumped
scene
around.
Setting, those are all excellent descriptions
right.
of what happened on last week's episode of Star Trek Con, the podcast. That was called Paradise.
Right.
We haven't mentioned what episode we're talking about this week.
No.
Everybody knows. But we haven't officially mentioned it yet.
But this week, it's not spreading, jumping around from thing to thing so much, so each one is a little bit more... involved. So
whereas last week was Mario,
this week's Luigi.
No, that doesn't
this week's Zelda.
I'm asking you, which
Metroid?
Which, if you were to use a video game as an analogy to describe the overall structure And by the way,
ooh, you're asking the right fellow.
I recognize that I'm putting you on the spot.
It's just such a weird question. This is not in our preparation for the podcast, our pre-podcast preparation.
I had not asked you this question. So now I'm asking you, recognizing again that this is an off the cuff calculation, determination that you're making. If we were to say that last week's episode was to Super Mario Brothers, as this week's episode is to blank, are we talking like Ninja Gaiden?
Oh,
you mentioned Zelda. I want to know what you're talking about because you're the one who put the
Battletoads.
Fuck Battletoads, man. Mm-hmm. Battletoads is a great game, but you get to like level 3 and you're like, I just can't fucking do this shit. This is not fun anymore.
Right, Mega Man.
Jesus. And it's just a ripoff of Ninja Turtles. Everybody knows it.
Right.
And/or Boglins. Anyway, sorry.
And/or Boglins. I've never made that comparison. Wow.
But it was like campy or something.
Yeah, so you're asking me,
what do you want from me?
You want me to compare this to a video game?
You have divided this week's episode into a number. How many list items this week? Last week it was 13, I think. How many 15? Is it this week?
Well, you know, it's not that many fewer. It's 8, which is 5 less, which is almost 50%.
Right. So 5 fewer segments that describe when we get to it.
So it's fewer segments, but this episode. But each segment is more involved. So
That's interesting.
So I don't know.
So it builds upon they build upon each other.
Yeah.
So which video game would be appropriate? Are we talking to Q-Bert?
Q-Bert.
No, see, Q-Bert would be more like Mario, where it's jumping around to different things. This is more delving deep into something. So maybe it's more like
Altered Beast.
Maybe it's more like an action RPG, like Diablo or something.
Because it's like you're
going to different places, but you're digging deep into each one. I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, I could
this
buy
is
that.
Such a,
you, I know. You're that's acting a, that's like a funky question.
You're acting like you're bullshitting that, but I thought you did a good job there with the Diablo.
It's just such a bizarre. It's just such a B. Arthur question.
Yeah. Ultima.
Is that
3.
A B. Arthur question or like a James Lipton question?
What's the difference between B. Arthur and an old shoe? Don't worry about it. Okay. Yeah, all right. So you got a list.
I also wanted to relay an anecdote.
Okay, so I mean, I suppose this is not technically a new.
Well, it's not really an.
It's not a new segment.
Well,
because we've all Jesse, Dan, and I have each in our own time provided various anecdotes.
It's less a singular anecdote and more a pattern of things that occur that I've noticed.
Okay, right.
It's not so much a story as it is a series of facts.
It's a series of events that led to a conclusion. Yeah.
My interest was already piqued, but now you really have piqued my interest because you've confused me slightly.
Ha!
And I like that.
Wonderful.
I like that.
I like it.
Does this anecdote or group of anecdotes relate to the episode in some fashion?
Nope.
Okay, all right. Well,
but what difference would that make?
There you go. Just something to look forward to. So, okay, so we have a list. We apparently, from Dan, have an anecdote. By the way, we have not described.
I don't even know if it's technically an anecdote.
We haven't described the contributions that Jesse and I plan to provide to this episode. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Dan?
Oh, shit.
Anything else? Duties or no duties and whatnots? No. Again, for the audience, Dan is in fact quite sincerely scrolling up and down his list on his laptop.
I mean, I've got like, you know, Ivan was kind of sexist in this episode.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Savannah was like, you know, really wanting some.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. So other than that.
All right. So, okay, great. Those are all things to look forward to. When we discuss the Star Trek Con podcast, season 1, episode 2, called Scheherazade.
We should have a story.
You will be our Scheherazade. Episode 2, Scheherazade.
How come they don't know that story?
It is interesting that they don't know the 1001.
They're from
Arabian
the 20th
Night.
Century.
I mean, not everybody knows that story.
Well, sure, but they would be perhaps more likely. Yeah. Well, although maybe they were. You know what? You're right, Dan. Maybe we're putting unfair stereotypes on these particular 1990s
I'm
people.
I'm sorry.
You don't need to apologize.
You don't need to apologize because
Jesse.
First of all, I agree with you that I think it's a reasonable baseline assumption that genetically engineered super genius people who seem to be interested in myth and culture would be aware of 1001 Nights. Night,
some kind of bullfinch mythology.
And the particular story of...
A general survey of this and that.
Scheherazade. However, it is also true that this is a vision of 1990s people via the prism of 1960s, via the prism of 2024.
Right. Let's just say I don't think either of us were completely right or completely wrong.
Yeah. Okay, that feels like something that Dan's going to keep in his hopper.
His
favorites hopper.
Yes and no, my lord.
It's a long way of saying we agree to disagree. Yeah. It's a less obnoxious way of saying we agree to disagree.
I have spoken.
That story, by the way, their reaction to the story was they go.
Aw.
Sorry, that sound was really awkward to pull out, but.
Aw.
I know, everybody was just like
you did say they, that was just one person. Did they all say aw?
Well, they were all kind of like, they were all kind of, you know, they went aw, and yeah. They go ha ha ha, you know, like it was some kind of romantic story.
Yeah.
But it's a fucked up story, obviously.
Oh, sure.
Kinda.
But at the end of it, it's presented as in like, he was going to kill her, but like he hung out with her so long that he fell in love with her and made her his queen. That's when everyone's like, oh, that's so sweet.
I'm not
going
to kill you. I'm going
to
marry you.
And so as if it's cute or something, but she's married to a fucking psychotic, insecure murderer. Yeah. And
he's assaulted. He's got like a good job.
Yeah, but I'm sure that if he's not going to kill her, this psychotic insecurity is going to come out in other ways. You know?
It was a variation.
Do you think she fell in love back with him, even though he killed like every other person before him?
I think it was a variation on
reason he didn't kill her is because she was entertaining to him.
It was a variation on the Dread Pirate Roberts from Princess Bride.
I guess it began as entertainment and ended up as love, but it's still a weird story. Anyway, go ahead. Go. Sorry, you were saying something about pirates.
Just the Dread Pirate Roberts from
Dread
Princess
Pirate
Bride.
Roberts.
Yeah.
I'll most likely kill you in the morning.
Inconceivable.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Etc.
Anybody got a peanut?
As you wish. As you wish. You know?
Rodents.
Inconceivable.
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 It's a wonderful movie.
Inconceivable.
He's all like.
Carrie Elwes?
That word, I'm not sure it means what you think it means.
Carrie Elwes was all like super hot. Yeah. It was like his blonde hair and a ponytail and wearing all that black stuff.
That other guy, Mandy Patinkin.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world. 'Twould be a pity to damage yours.
Yeah. Don't do that.
All right. We're gonna talk about this episode all up and down, but first we got a couple of voicemails.
Right.
And to give a heads up, we haven't 100% figured out how we're going to do this, but last week, listeners who pay attention and remember will recall that Dan was recounting his time eons ago in the past working for a radio program.
Indeed.
With some goofy comedy radio guys where Dan would, he produced jingles for them. Mm-hmm. And one of the jingles he produced was for a game they played, a radio game with live callers called Muffin Mouth.
Yes, indeed.
And we are going to, in the second break.
Muffin Mouth.
We're going to try to play.
We're going to rip it off.
Play a game of Muffin Mouth.
Or not.
Are we going to just eat some fucking muffins? Because I've been staring at these fucking muffins.
That's the thing. That's the best case scenario. Because
I just need a little bit of snack.
Got some lemon poppy.
Part of the muffin.
Muffins are big giant muffins.
I don't have to eat the whole thing. I just want a bite or two.
500 calories each of these muffins.
I don't need all that much, but just
a little
bit. So in the second break. In the second break, we're going to play some Muffin Mouth. But first, we have a couple of... voicemails,
you know,
and I'm sensing from Dan, a little bird is coming. I got a note on my Slack channel right here. It says, it's popped up and it says like, Dan would like to make a point or say something or do something.
I was thinking about my description of this episode as Diablo, but like, and it could make sense, but you know, there wasn't a whole lot of deep stuff that happened in this episode, but I think Diablo can work because if a whole lot of like really intricate deep stuff happened, it could be like more of a traditional Ultima RPG, like
Might and Magic 3.
Get into the nitty gritty
kind
of stuff.
There's monsters.
Get into the nitty gritty, but this is kind of, it gets more detailed than the last episode, but it's still, there's not a whole lot of stuff that happens. Just a couple kind of things.
By
the by,
I think.
And Diablo being an action RPG, it gives you some amount of, you know, a little bit of a dive into specifics and things like that. But it's still got that action flavor, so it still keeps it light in a way.
I'm confused. Are you still with the Diablo, or are you more into the Ultima 3?
I don't know.
I tossed out Might and Magic.
Yeah, I'm saying this episode is not Might and Magic or Ultima. It's more like Diablo. I'm
shoots and ladders.
Because like it's deep, but it's not too deep. And Diablo being an action RPG is not as deep as an Ultima or Might and Magic.
Nine Men's Morris.
But it's because it's got some action flavor to it, but it's still got a little bit of depth, but it's not too bogged down with
Canasta.
Canasta.
Hard cheesy.
Rotisserie chicken with French fries. With French fries.
Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario. I love Mario. Hey, Jesse.
Oh, no. Oh,
hey,
God.
Jesse.
No.
Hey, Jesse.
This
no.
is my William voice.
No.
What
no,
are
no.
you doing?
None of this.
It's my William voice.
We don't have time for any of this.
Well, the worms fell out of my face and I can't
no.
find them.
Okay. I like the worm voice until you introduced this whole worms falling out of your face thing, which was like, that's recent.
That's horrifying.
That's recent. That's within within the last 10 episodes or something. This is like worms falling out your
I
face.
I can't believe that.
I don't need to be dealing with that. So,
stop.
So let's move along home.
Okay.
And do our two voicemails. The first voicemail is from Jesse from Crusher Convo.
Hooray!
Hey guys, it's Jesse from Crusher Convo. I am sending a message because this week on social media, I had asked Trekkies to tell me their favorite season one episode of The Next Generation. And Patrick said that Data Lore was his with, I believe, Justice and the Neutral Zone as a close second. But I'm wondering for Dan and Jesse what your favorite episode is. Let me know. You guys have a great time tonight and live long and prosper.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
I thought you said it was TOS.
No, TNG.
It's TNG.
Shit.
Nah, you screwed up, man.
Just he was all thinking about TOS episodes.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I'll come up with something.
I mean,
go first.
You want to go first?
No, he doesn't want to go first.
You gotta think about it.
I told him before the podcast, I was like, hey, Jesse was asking us about what your favorite season one TNG episode is. And Jesse apparently heard that as TOS. So he's thinking, Jesse's all like, I'm sitting here confidently on the city on the edge of forever or some shit.
I've had a long
time. Now you got to think of TNG episodes.
I mean, how many people do you think would say Encounter at Farpoint? Because that seems kind of cheating in a way.
Well, I don't think it's cheating. I think it's valid, and I'll tell you why I think it's valid, because I initially thought Encounter at Farpoint. When I saw Jesse's post on Blue Sky, my first thought honestly was Encounter at Farpoint. But then when I thought about it, I was like, you know what? There's actually, like, I think it's a little later in the season where I'm digging it more.
It's just, you know, they put the most effort into that pilot episode. Yeah.
Well,
know?
And it's also interesting.
Did they even consider it a pilot back then?
I mean, in a sense, because with Encounter at Farpoint, it originally was just the story of Groppler Zorn and the Goobly Glops.
I'm not joking, Lee.
And they wanted to beef it up a little bit, so then they added in the whole Q business sort of later on, which makes it an interestingly structured episode. It takes TNG a few seasons to really get in his groove. However, there's a lot of good stuff in that first season, even if it's a little awkward. And I think for my money, Data Lore is a good example. However, the ones I remember more are Justice, because of the whole weird 80s '80s sexy people and Wesley going to get murdered as a because of local public policy.
Is a really classic one.
And the Neutral Zone is great just because it's at the end of the season. It's 1980s people frozen and like walking around the Enterprise being assholes and is hilarious. And Data's acting hilarious with those people. And then there's the whole Romulan business. So yeah, there's just a lot to like in the Neutral Zone. But I don't know. There's a ton of episodes.
I mean, what
about
Hyde and Q?
Yeah, Hyde and Q is interesting. That's the one. That's with Riker. Is that the one where Q gives Riker superpowers? I think that's it, right? Unless I'm wrong.
Oh yeah.
I think that's what it is.
I think so.
The one where
they got the Napoleon pig people.
Yeah, right.
I think we discussed that episode.
I like the one where Data's having nightmares.
That's not season one. She was asking about season one.
Oh, shit.
Did you just think? I got it all completely wrong. So first you thought it was...
Am I just not listening?
I don't think you're listening.
I'm just not listening.
So first you thought it was TOS, and then you thought it was just any episode from TOS.
Anything from TNG.
Don't worry. Jess is slowly coming on board. All right, so we're season one, TNG. Dan's going to keep talking about it, and Jesse's going to figure it out in the meantime.
Okay, well, what about, like... Is Skin of Evil considered like a good episode or just kind of like a necessary episode because of what happened behind the scenes?
It's an impactful
episode. It is impactful.
You remember that episode not just because Tasha Yar kicks the bucket, because the Skin of Evil is fucked up. There's like a bunch of weird, like just the concept of like that weird sloppy person is weird.
Oh, God.
All right, Jesse.
But.
Is this the one, I have a hard time remembering it, where no one has gone before? Is that the one where the Enterprise gets like blopped into a faraway land? Like, and they come to and they're like, we'll knock you so far away that your kids will be grandparents by the time you get back. I think that's where no one has gone before.
Yeah, because there wasn't a TOS episode called Where No Man Has Gone Before, of course.
So I remember, if that's the one I have a very vivid memory of that as a kid, because I remember for whatever reason, that part where the guy said to him, he says, you know, by the time you get back, your grandkids will be grandparents, or whatever kind of line he gave. I remember as a kid, that kind of freaked me out for some reason. Just that concept of being knocked so far away that it would take that long to get home.
Pretty fucking intense.
It's like one of those things. It's like, wow, I guess, you know, you have these kind of thoughts as a kid, but every once in a while, one of them strikes you in a certain way. And you're just like, ugh. You ever, like, as a kid, think about like how big the universe is, and it freaks you out a little bit, you know?
Well, I was the kind of kid I liked that.
As an adult.
No, I'm not saying I didn't like
it. As an adult.
It's like a horror movie where it freaks you out, but you like it.
Yeah. Naked Now, that's a good episode.
What Patrick is saying, though, is he wasn't freaked out by it because he was just such an intellectual that
I was a tiny little intellectual.
It was
boy.
Made perfect sense that the universe is huge.
Of course. Well, and my hair was parted perfectly down the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jesse says.
But conspiracy is definitely not on that list.
Oh, well, conspiracy is pretty. I mean, there's a lot of awesome shit. Jesse said The Naked Now. Dan said a few different episodes. I said it a few different episodes. A lot of good stuff.
It's hard. I have a hard time narrowing things down to favorite.
Yeah.
I know, it's hard.
But those are some of the ones that like how do you rate favorite? Because you can say, well, which is the one you would watch over and over again the most? That's one way of saving favorite. Yeah. But then there are movies and shows and stuff that I've seen that I only need to see once that I've liked more than ones that I'll watch over and over again.
I mean, so, there's stuff that sticks with you and you don't have to like rewatch it.
Yeah. Like the Tom Green movie.
Right.
I watched Freddy got fingered over and over again. I'm a farmer, Daddy. Daddy, look at me.
Daddy,
a farmer.
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Well, thank you very much.
I'm a backwards man.
Jesse, as always.
I'm a backwards man. Backwards man. Backwards man. Backwards man. I can walk backwards fast as you can. I can walk backwards fast as you can.
Jesse from the Crusher Convo podcast. Go check it out on podcast and YouTube.
So, but
Jesse does all sorts of awesome stuff.
So this is, I guess I copped out on my answer then.
No, you didn't cop. We had a nice little discussion.
I thought it was all good.
All right, so we are coming up on a break, but I do want to get to Grayson's voicemail. So Grayson was inspired by our discussion last week. We talked a little bit in the previous episode about our experience with audio.
I can walk
dramas,
backwards fast as you can. I can walk backwards fast as you can.
Drama and comedy and all that. Grayson has this to say.
Hey guys, I love the conversation about audio dramas that you had at the beginning of the episode last week when you were talking about Con. I don't really listen to a lot of audio drama these days, so it kind of surprised me how much I enjoyed Con. I mostly listen to something to learn or laugh or to hang out with friends in my head like you guys. But hearing you talk about stuff that you remembered listening to kind of jogged my memory about some things. I just wanted to share real fast. When I was a kid in L.A., I used to fall asleep on Sunday nights listening to the CBS Mystery Theater hosted by E.G. Marshall on KNX 1070 AM. I don't remember a single plot of any of those dramas. I was definitely always asleep before they were over. But the sound of it, the voices and the effects that I listened to, the dark being lit by the little red lights of my clock radio, I mean, absolutely imprinted on me. And I was obsessed, too, with this guy named Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
Do you remember him? He had this very distinctive cadence when he read the news, and his sign-off was always, Paul Harvey, good day. He had this segment called The Rest of the Story, always ended with a twist, like usually like with a little grin in his voice, like he was letting you in on a secret. But there was one episode of The Rest of the Story that has haunted me forever. Shit. It's this one about Washo, a chimp that learned sign language, and she could sign things like orange or ball or want. And then one day, according to Paul Harvey, the handler said that she could say anything she wanted. They just said, hey, say anything you want. And she looked through the bars of her cage, raised her hands, and signed, let me out.
Ah!
And then Paul Harvey said, and now you know. The rest of the story.
Oh, man.
Paul Harvey fucking ruled.
That wrecked me as a kid. It still kind of does. And I can't find it online anywhere. And I actually hope that I don't. But anyway, that's one of those that stuck with me. I have one last recommendation, if I have time. The BBC's Tomorrow's World. It's a radio show that you can listen to as a podcast now. And they have an episode called Electric Sheep from 2017. It's half documentary, half radio drama, and really one of the first serious pieces I ever listened to that talked about AI. And it holds up shockingly well for a show from 2017, now in 2025, especially the bit at the end about how the superintelligence might maneuver itself into the world and what it might do when it gets there. Anyway, hearing you guys talk about all that audio DNA that informed your coverage of Con really got me thinking about the stuff that shaped me, and so here we are. I just wanted to say thanks for the spark to go back and listen to that, some of that stuff. I'll include links to these things in my email if you want to drop any in the show notes. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you guys.
Gobble,
later.
Gobble.
Thanks, Agamas.
I'm thankful for you, too.
Yeah, thanks so much, Grayson. And
I remember The Simpsons actually did a Paul Harvey gag where he did that, like, now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah, no, Paul Harvey, that's old school.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird because it's old school and not in our minds because he preceded us in terms of, like, he was on the radio before we were born. Right. On the other hand, he was on the radio when we were into our adulthood as well.
He like, lived a long time.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, it's kind of like Art Bell, Coast to Coast, who was just like, just on the radio forever.
Or that Casey Kasem guy.
That's a Sandlot joke, Dan. We don't do Sandlot jokes.
You're killing me, Smalls.
We only do fried green tomatoes.
We do Pulp Fiction, Spaceballs.
Pulp Fiction.
I do the fried green tomatoes. I know you guys aren't so into the fried green tomatoes.
I don't mind fried green
tomatoes. The secret's in the sauce!
A little bit of Reservoir
Dogs. The secret is in the sauce!
I don't have a problem with fried green tomatoes, but I'm not fucking obsessed with it like you are.
It's a feminist masterpiece.
Now you've just made me sound like an asshole.
No!
Thanks.
That was not my intention. That was not my intention. All right. Grayson.
It's break time.
Thank you so much. And yeah, we're going to take a break in a second, but please, everyone.
Then we're going to eat some muffins.
You have to listen to Grayson's new podcast, The Prime Detective. It's amazing. It's a short form podcast. It's been coming out every week. A number of episodes are already out. The Prime Detective. It's where Grayson goes over the intersection between sort of like true crime and Star Trek. It's way more. It's already sounds interesting. It's way more interesting than you even realize when you listen to it.
It's better than he described.
As always, our thoughts are one, my brother.
Go check it out. All right. We will be right back.
Stop.
And we're back.
Voice print confirmed.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Will we push on? You must keep up.
Now that the voice print has been confirmed.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like to address something that happened just before the end of the break. You said, what was that phrase you just said? You said something about like everybody loves to flavor. What was it?
Everyone loves to flavor.
Everyone. Did you say everyone loves to flavor?
Yeah. You know, just have to have, you know, snappy flavors.
Okay.
Nice fresh flavors that pop.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll table that discussion for now.
Yeah, that's a different podcast.
And we'll continue the old, you know, the regular old podcast. It just was confusing to me and Dan.
Excuse me.
As we were trying to come back from break.
Oh, man.
Okay, all right.
Because you were talking about like ginger and apple, like Red Bull.
Well, I was. I was talking about the winter edition Fuji apple and ginger. And I'll take this opportunity to go ahead and ASMR.
I'm just saying that's a snazzy flavor.
ASMR alert. There we go. All right, we charge extra for that.
You like that one, do you?
Patreon.
They're working up an appetite.
Let's discuss.
Discuss
this episode. We are going to play Muffin Mouth. We're going to figure out how to play Muffin Mouth later in this.
I guess
break.
I had a Hell thing yeah. I was going
to
say.
Okay, I want to hear the thing that Dan has to say.
So, when you go to the store, right?
Okay.
And this happened today at 7-Eleven, and I used to go to 7-Eleven a lot. I only go to 7-Eleven like once a week now, really.
Popular convenience chain store in the United States and in Japan.
And I rarely go there now, but every once in a while I'll go there. And I notice that, and it's less happens less now because people don't pay with cash as much.
Okay.
But it still happens that when you pay for something in cash, mm-hmm. chances are you're going to get some coinage back with those cash, right?
Sure. But they're rounding up the pennies.
And
because the pennies have been banned.
Okay, here's an example of something that had nothing to do with what I was talking about.
I'm being too topical for
you're just trying to spout some knowledge or something. I don't know why you said that.
No, it's all right. I'm not entirely sure why I said it either. Because
damn it, Ivan,
I have an interest in making sure we get to the conversation. Yeah. You're in the middle of some sort of anecdote. Well,
I know,
100%
I was just talking
sure
about change, and you were like, yes, because pennies aren't available anymore. And I was like, what? Okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Change. It is okay. Yeah. So.
It's weird.
So they give you your change, right? Mm-hmm. Now, whenever they give your change, has this been your experience? You guys experience this where if they give you like a dollar and some change, mm-hmm. they will put the dollar in their hand mm-hmm. and they will use the dollar bill as a tray for the change and they put it in your hand.
That's the classic way, yeah.
That's bullshit.
I agree with both of you. I agree with Jesse that it is unfortunately...
I mean, it's just what people do.
It
is the classic way, but I agree with you, Dan. It is bullshit. Put the fucking coins in there
first. My hands first.
My hands all ready to accept that metal coins. Yeah. And right. it's a little bit... The skin texture is a little bit sticky. It's just like the moistures and the oils make it a little bit sticky, so it's better at holding the coins together. They slide around on those bills.
Yeah, they slide around the bills. And I don't know why people do it. Maybe it's easier for them or it gives the appearance of being easier. But like you said, it's not, because the coins go sliding around. And on top of that, once I receive this stuff, I have to take a few extra seconds to get it all sorted in my hand and put it away. Or like at minimum, I have to like separate the two before I can leave so it doesn't fall all over the floor. I'm not going to sit and like take my time. But the point is that maybe it's less time for them up front, but that time is offset by the time I have to spend sorting it at the counter. And just saying that, like, if you're trying to get me out of there so the next person can come in line, I think it's worth front-loading some of that time by putting the coins in your hand first and then the dollar bill. That way I can more quickly walk away while I'm putting it away. But when they quickly put in my hand as a tray thing, I have to fumble around with it at the counter. Otherwise, it's going to fall everywhere. You see what I'm saying? If they put the coins in your hand first, you can secure them immediately. You can secure them immediately. But if they use it as a tray, you cannot secure it immediately. And so it takes extra time. So it gives the appearance of being easier, but it's not easier because it goes slip sliding around and it takes more time.
For the record, as a person that works at a cash register, mm-hmm. I do not give change in that fashion.
Thank you, Jesse. I
give them the coins or the bills separately, and I don't like give them some kind of thing that can like because it's gonna fall all over the floor.
Right,
they're gonna be like, "Boo!"
I appreciate that you can relate to me.
There's
on this.
There's been too many times where like dimes and nickels have like gone ploppity plop, like down on the floor. And look, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
And look, if you do this, I don't think any less of you. I'm just saying, maybe try to think of it doing differently and see how it works out for you, and see if you agree with me or not. But you know what? That's something Dan can't stand.
I had a suspicion, folks, by the way. I'm talking to the audience here.
Yeah.
Early on in the podcast, Mm-hmm. When I went through that whole, Dan, do you have a list? You have a duty or no duty? When I was doing all of that, it was in part because I had a sneaking suspicion that Dan had a secret new bit.
Go on.
I don't know if it was planned, extemporaneous. I had a suspicion. Is it because I know Dan well? Is it some
psychic powers?
Some psychic powers bleeding through. But there was something that made me think, yeah, Dan's going to introduce a new bit. Well, Dan, I'm glad we gave you the venue the last fucking 5 minutes or so to talk about this change business, which I totally agree with. I think most people agree with.
And that's something Dan can't stand.
All right.
Dan can't stand. I said it three times. Dan, now you remember.
And now we have to make a t-shirt out of it.
Yeah. Dan can't stand.
Podcast rule. You say it three times, you got to make a merch t-shirt out of it.
And I don't want to be negative because it's too easy to be negative on about things to get.
You say negative?
Yeah. Negative to get click negative. To get clicks. It's too easy to be negative about things to be clicks. So I don't want to always say something that I can't stand. Maybe sometime I'll say something that I can stand. Yeah. But I'll be like, can Dan stand? And I'll be like, yes, Dan can stand.
Yes, he can.
Or can Dan stand? No, Dan can't stand.
No, he cannot.
My question for you, Dan, is can Dan stand Star Trek Can? Season 1, Episode 2.
Star Trek Can.
Scheherazade.
Yes, my lord. Yes, my lord.
Because we talked about it for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Then we stopped talking about it.
Yeah, we got to talk about it.
And now we got to talk about it.
We talk about giving change.
But starting out with the fact, like, again, spoiler alert, I was super engaged with this episode.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the first episode, but this episode really got me fucking hooked. And I don't know if part of it was that I listened to a big chunk of it while driving in my car, and it was all like loud and immersive with all the fucking sound effects and the boar attacks and all this crazy shit was happening. And I was driving along and suddenly realized, like, holy shit, I'm like enraptured with this shit.
There's a lot of action. There's some action in this
one. It's
you're like, whoa, what's going on?
I was on board after last week's episode. I was like, oh, I understand why people say this is so cool. I think I understand better now after this episode. I was like, yeah, this is like, they did a really good job. It's not, there's some silly stuff here and there and all that, but like, it is a really impressive thing that they've done, is to make an engaging audio tale. Again, I don't know about you guys, that was my experience of listening to this episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It was cool.
I was wrong about two things. I was wrong about Khan ordering Ivan to watch over Hugo and to use Hugo to kind of set an example for people.
It seems that he thinks that he just fell down.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was pushed.
We know that Hugo was,
right.
Chucked his ass the cliff.
Ivan chucked Hugo. So that makes me wonder if, like, this is going to be a setup for a situation where Khan has to, like, kill Ivan for some reason because he's going to find out. Seems like he's going to find out about this or something.
Well, like the other dude died, too, so, like, maybe it just sort of seems
what
like...
What other dude?
Like the...
Joaquin. I'm sorry, go.
So, it might happen that, like, you know, all of those guys die.
Well, okay, so the thing... Well, Joaquin is dead.
Yeah.
And so that was my second thing I was wrong about, because I was thinking, like, well, maybe Joaquin will become jealous of Khan because Khan becomes this father figure to Joaquin. And it's like, no, he's not going to become jealous. In fact, Khan will be a fatherly role to Joaquin because Joaquin
died. In the absence of.
So, but like, yeah, I'm wondering if Ivan is going to turn out to be maybe a Judas kind of character or if like... or maybe Ivan is not a Judas, but he's just generally the reason everything gets fucked up for some reason.
They have sort of presented him as, I think it's a relatively classic archetype of the true believer that's almost like too much of a true believer. Like the leader actually gets aggravated with, because it's like, you're taking this a little too seriously.
Right. Well, but he's taking it too seriously, but he's also doing... He's doing things on his own, which happened actually...
His own initiative.
And actually, this happened
in... I'm sorry. I apologize. My apologies.
His head is in the clouds.
Yet. I don't like it.
Bush. Everything in this world wants to kill us.
Kill us.
If I didn't know better, I'd say we were back in Tashkent.
But actually there was actually a part in this episode too where he sort of was that little out of line, because he was He was hunting a boar or something in a dangerous way, and Khan actually reprimanded him.
Yeah, dude.
He ran ahead where they had shot the boar, but boar being hearty animals. And granted, we can talk separately about like a lot of these animals just look like fucking earth animals. We'll talk about that later. He shoots a boar, but it's hearty. It is not deceased yet and it's going crazy, so they have to shoot it again, but he gets in the way and instead, what is it? Does he like stab it in the head or something?
I think he
kick it in the balls.
He kicked it in the boar balls.
He gave it a big hug.
I think he did something dangerous to during the hunting in order to kill the boar.
He got like in the line of fire.
Yeah. Something like that.
I'm pretty sure I just described that.
I don't think you said that.
Did I convey that improper? I may have conveyed that in an inefficient
pretty
way.
Much.
Yeah. Or unclear.
It says, I have her take the shot. Reload, finisher, Ivan.
Shooter! That's a Jurassic Park reference. Speaking of Michael Crichton,
which they don't, oh, the audience doesn't know about that we were talking about Michael.
Oh,
Crichton.
Was that during the break?
Yeah, that was during the break.
I apologize.
We're talking about Congo and laser monkeys.
Those classic, classic goof 'em ups.
Goof 'em up.
You want some insight of what we talk about on the breaks? Everyone's probably like, I bet they're all like farting and pooping. No, we were talking. We're talking about
pee pee poo poos.
We're talking about Michael Crichton's book Congo.
And Joaquin goes, damn it, Ivan, I almost shot you. And then Ivan's like, I couldn't wait. I can taste her already. So he they were trying to play it safe or something, and he like did something risky.
That dude was hungry, man.
He did something risky to try to go after the boar. So he takes liberties.
He's ready for barbecue.
Ivan takes liberties and he doesn't always get permission. And I think that might end up being a problem.
Ivan's the kind of guy who when he meets a vegetarian, he's like, I will try to be vegetarian, but I love bacon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the extra right. B is for BYOB.
I would welcome fresh meat for dinner tonight. My mouth is watering already.
Silly
Ivan.
Silly
What's
Ivan.
He doing? What's oh. that Ivan guy? But oh yeah, he
He's
was.
I did not to obscure your point, Dan. I do think it's because I'm in line with you. They're creating a number of interesting character dynamics, and Ivan clearly is one of the chief ones where he is doing things kind of on his own, but in the vein of Khan. But yeah, it's like, is he going to cause problems? He's already caused a couple.
Damn it, Ivan.
And he's sexist. So when Joaquin and Khan are chatting about Marla, Ivan comes up and he's like, if you ladies have quite finished with your tea, I found dinner. That was one of them. Mm-hmm. Number two, Marla goes...
So if you ladies are done with your tea...
He says this to Khan and Joaquin are talking. They're chatting about Marla. Like, yeah. Khan's like, Marla is mad at me. And Joaquin's like, you got to be a better guy.
Got it.
And then he's like, if you ladies are quite finished with your tea, implying that they're just like being.
And in this case, do you think that Ivan is referring to tea as in the contemporary, current to today colloquialism of tea as referencing gossip?
I just thought he.
Do you think that's what he's? Because they're gossiping.
Is tea
he's talking about tea?
Is tea another word for gossip?
Yes, currently
I think so,
among
yeah.
the youth.
Oh, I just thought
not he, among our ilk, Dan.
I mean, then that would prove my point even more. I just thought he meant regular,
among like people younger
I, what,
than us.
What I thought yeah. is, I thought he was saying, if you're finished drinking your tea, I'm gonna get dinner. You know, it's like when you're gonna have tea. Your little cute tea, and I'm gonna have meaty dinner. Yeah. But it's also implying it's like you guys are chatting away and not getting the job done, and you're a bunch of ladies, whatever that means, you know. But now if you're saying tea means gossip, then yes, I think it's like a double entendre.
But not necessarily
entendre.
It might but be potentially. It might be a double entendre.
It's a potential double entendre.
Double
The second time Marla says every day after he married a new woman, a virgin, she's telling the Scheherazade story.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And she goes, and the following morning, before she could betray him, he beheaded her. And then some do you have something to say, Jesse?
No, it's just sound effects.
Just making noises. We're about halfway through the podcast. This is the stage where Jesse starts just making some funny sounds.
Remember last week when he just said screens out of nowhere?
Yeah, but that was early in the podcast. That threw me off. Yeah. He just said the word screens, and he said it so confidently.
Because we were talking about that's when we were talking about radio stories versus video stories.
Right.
My stories.
That's right. I said
screens. It's like, yes, no. knobs, volume.
Knobs.
But anyway, so he goes, and the following morning, before she could betray him, he beheaded her. And then someone's like, harsh. And then Khan goes, it was a less civilized time. And then Ivan goes, are we sure about that? Implying that, like, beheading a woman is a civilized thing to do.
Okay.
I mean, he's making a joke. He's first obviously making a joke.
In this case, I think he was maybe more critiquing the 23rd or 22nd century. 23rd century. 23rd century.
Second.
You know, 2200.
So I can know.
But 23rd
I can,
century.
I thought about that. I thought century. That too. I thought that too. But I think in context of the story.
Context.
Of the story, I think he was saying like, but before she could betray him, he beheaded her. And then everyone's like, that wasn't civilized. And he's like, I'm not so sure. You know, women, hey. You know, I thought he was being like, hey, women, they're, hey, women, you know.
I'm not jokingly.
I didn't interpret it that
Patrick's
way.
Doing a snappy finger point thing.
I can't do it. I'm trying to do that thing where you kind of like, you're like, you point and snap at the same time.
Yeah, right.
But I can't do that. It's not in my skill set.
No,
That one's up for debate. I'll accept that. But that's how I figured it. Because
is this a list or is this a new game called That's How I Figured It?
That's how I figured it. That's how I figured it. Then the third one is, then the last one, he goes.
Is this a list?
Yeah, the last piece. Okay. This is a stealth list. The last one. He goes. The boar attack's happening, and there's all this chaos and all this shit going down. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Step back." And then I think it was Marla goes, "Buddy." And then he goes, "Did you hear me, woman?" You know, he says like woman.
You're right. Yeah.
He goes,
"Did you hear me, woman?"
So I mean, maybe sexist is a strong word, but he's definitely not sensitive.
Yeah.
I appreciate
that's
you.
Harsh language.
I appreciate you pointing those out because I hadn't really cottoned on to those. But now that you've illuminated those to me, it makes more clear.
That's why Dan's so great.
The pattern, indeed. The
stop.
The pattern, what the writers are doing, right? Because the thing is the writers are setting Khan up as sort of an anti-hero. We, as the audience, at least thus far, the writers are presenting Khan as, yes, flawed, but not as black and white flawed as maybe previously portrayed in terms of just being a maniacal, crazy person.
And, might well be.
And one tool they have to do that is they needed another character who is more of an asshole. Mm-hmm. And so they've created the character of Ivan, right, where Ivan's engaging, he's interesting, he's got the hilarious voice.
Yeah. He's got the hilarious voice.
But he's also, by making him misogynistic, that gives the audience
that's a better word, misogynistic,
another clue
that sexist is not quite the right word, misogynistic.
I think he's displaying these misogynistic tendencies, which turns the audience, at least starts to turn them against him.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's well said.
Thank you. Was that Marla MacGyver's?
Yeah, it was Marla MacGyver's.
Marla MacGyver's.
Marla MacGyver's.
Stop.
Should we try to play some Muffin Mouth?
We could try some Muffin Mouth.
We do not know how this is going to work.
This might fail like spectacularly.
I'm going to.
Would you rather something fail spectacularly or fail miserably?
Spectacular.
I don't know. Let's try both.
Okay.
As a sort of an A to B test.
Let's make ourselves miserable.
All right. So to start the Muffin Mouth game, first we have to play the Muffin Mouth theme song.
Yep.
Muffin Mouth. Muffin Mouth. Figure it out. Muffin Mouth. Muffin Mouth. Figure it out.
When did you make that? Like 20 years ago?
Yeah, it was about 20 years ago.
Fucking wild. Yeah. You have not fucking changed, by the way.
No, I guess I don't feel like I've changed.
No, that's in this case, that's a good thing.
Oh, man.
All right, Muffin Mouth. So the idea behind the game of Muffin Mouth is that a person.
There's muffins in mouth.
Puts a muffin in their mouth, and we've got some lemon poppy muffins here. A person puts a muffin in their mouth and then says a word or phrase, and the other people are supposed to guess it. So how are we going to do this? Dan, do you want to send me a line, I should say? And then
Jesse would have to guess it.
And then Jesse can guess it. And then I'll try to eat it.
Okay, or I can I can start off with one. Or okay. Do you want to be first?
No,
to go?
No, no, no. If you've got something, go. If you want to go for it. If you okay, Dan's getting the muffins.
I
want
to take a turn.
All right.
Yeah, Jesse.
Yeah, no. We're all going to take a turn. Jesse's just fucking hungry.
Yeah. I had
a light dinner.
How much muffin do I put in my mouth?
As much as you want, baby.
I mean, you got to, you know, a regulation enough amount of muffin. Count. Yeah. Okay.
You know the most
Dan
about muffin
is currently,
mouth.
Okay, these are giant muffins.
Oh my
and
God.
Dan, at first he put a small chunk that
I'm
he tore
freaking
off.
Out.
And now he put
freaking out.
He put the bulk of the rest of the muffin. I think you have sufficient muffin in your mouth. All right, so say something and we'll guess what you're saying. Okay, I suppose I should have asked for clues before you put the muffin in your mouth. Okay, all right. There are four lights. Captain Picard, Chain of Command, Part 2, I believe. David Warner as the terrible Cardassian who's torturing a nude Patrick Stewart.
Nude.
All right, good round of muffin mouth.
Okay, by the way, make sure you have something to drink when you do this, just because, like, we might have to get, like, some Heimlich going on.
These are
them dense Harris.
We're all trained in the Heimlich maneuver and in the old Scoopy. Scoopy, put your finger in and scoop it out.
Mm-hmm. And
scoop it out.
Universal sign of choking.
Yeah.
Scooby.
And the universal.
Oh, the universal sign.
The universal stomp on somebody's belly until they stop
choking.
Are
you having trouble breathing?
But those are really good muffins.
They're fucking good. Yeah. Jesse, all right. Why don't you think of a Star Trek line and then shove some muffin in your mouth and then try to say something. And Dan and I.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It can be anything.
Just for the sake of accuracy.
Want to smell danger.
I don't know what he meant when he said this.
Want to smell danger.
I want to smell danger.
I want to smell danger.
Yeah.
That's weird. All right. Jesse has retrieved a muffin.
Want to? No, he just says want to keep your senses sharp, eyes open, want to smell danger. Okay. I guess it just means be aware.
Putting muffin in his mouth.
I'm just really filling up dead air while Jesse puts muffin in his mouth. You're not supposed to swallow it before you do it, Jesse. Jesse's just eating the muffin.
I was just going to say, right. Currently,
I needed to have a bite.
Currently, Jesse's simply consuming the muffin.
Dear gods.
Damn it, Ivan.
Not in the spirit of.
They're working up. An appetite.
Classic game of muffin mouth. All right, put all the muffin in your mouth.
He's just eating it still.
No.
I see him chewing it and swallowing
no.
it.
Hey, Dan, I see it too.
Yeah.
No.
I see it too.
You're just faking.
No, what he's doing is he thinks this is a loophole. What he's doing is he is shoving a bunch of muffin in his mouth, but he's also swallowing like a part of it. So he's like, I'm swallowing some of it, but I still got some left over.
He's kind of faking the muffin. That's not true.
He's doing some like Cookie Monster.
I see the swallow muscles happening in your neck.
What?
He's like, what?
The swallow muscles.
What?
I must be a reflex.
Yeah. All right. What's the line, Jesse?
I am not a millionaire.
No idea. No fucking clue, Jesse.
Where would I stay?
This was just a trick.
Jesse wins.
Jesse wins because he tricked us into eating free muffins.
When Jesse agreed to do this earlier, Jesse tricked me into buying some gourmet ass mushroom muffins. He's like, I know, I can get that fucking dumbass Patrick to buy some tasty ass muffins. He's like, that guy's got good taste in muffins. He knows me well enough that I'm not going to buy some cheap ass bullshit muffins because I'm a piece of shit. And
this
I'm like,
some serious muffins.
I need some fucking proper muffins. All right, I've got to come over and get.
I'm learning that when it comes to you, it's folly to assume anything.
Jesse's like actively swallowing, and then he's like, "Whoa, what are you got?" See, this is—I don't have any muffin in my mouth, but this is how Jesse was. He's like, "Whoa, what are you
muffin
I wasn't swallowing. I was trying to keep it in my mouth.
Or not.
I play by the rules, man.
All right, hold on.
No, I don't think
How dare you?
All right, I have retrieved.
How dare you?
Retrieved a muffin.
I'm gonna have the rest
and,
of
it. It saddens me to think of you living like that.
All right, I'm gonna stick some muffin in my mouth here. I'm not gonna eat it until afterwards.
Okay. Oh wait. Okay. Get. Make sure you have liquid handy. This is like Spaceballs. What?
He's swallowing it.
No.
The creeps.
Okay.
It's got Spaceballs.
Okay. You're not, you're saying, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm almost ready. Okay. Okay. Waiting. Jesse's just eating muffins over here. Oh, I know what he's doing. I know what he's doing. Jesse, do you know what he's doing? Jesse, what is he doing?
Hey, Jesse.
I don't think Jesse was even listening. He was so intent on
listening.
Eating
muffins. I'm listening, but I don't know what he's doing.
When I asked him, he was like concentrating on this muffin, and he was totally like laser focused on the muffin.
Well, yeah, man.
I mean,
did you hear what he was doing?
I heard what he was doing.
I don't think you did, because if you did, you have no idea what he's doing.
No, I don't know.
Dan knows what I was doing.
I'm a fucking idiot.
Jesse, come on. I'm not saying you're an idiot. I'm just
saying you're ignorant.
No, I just thought it was hilarious how much you're like digging on these muffins. That's all. We're just having fun here.
I was hungry, man.
We know who the muffin man is. In this case.
Do you know the muffin man?
All right. I was doing the life forms.
Life form.
Data in generations.
Yep.
After he gets the ill thought out emotion ship.
Okay. Well, now people are going to question whether I actually knew it because you said
it
before.
We know you knew it.
Muffin mouth.
This is like when you're playing golf.
Figure it out.
The ball is like a foot from the hole. It's a gimme. You don't got to go through the fucking ceremony to hit that ball in.
Yeah, there you go.
No problem.
Hit that ball in.
All right.
Hit that ball.
All right. That was muffin mouth.
That was fun. We'll do that again. We got to play the
That could be a repeat.
Play the closing theme so I can drink some fucking drink.
Yeah.
Muffin mouth. Muffin mouth. Oh, man.
Muffin mouth. Muffin mouth.
And I did have a mouthful of muffin when I sang that song.
Well, yeah. Obviously.
I do have a fucking mouthful of muffin. Here, yeah, try muffin. All right.
I ate mine.
Yeah.
You sons of bitches.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. And when we get back, we will probably talk a little bit more about this awesome episode of Star Trek Con. Scheherazade.
We'll just pick a fight with each other.
Be right back.
We'll return before dark. Stop it.
And we're back.
Hello.
I'm sorry, I said that weird.
I think there's a hair in my mouth.
You know, this... Well,
what happened during the break that would have a hair in your mouth, Jesse?
You know, I think like...
I have long hair.
If you recall, like I said that in these podcast ones, I'm recording these and keeping the stereo format.
Yes. Last episode, we asked you if getting sound clips from a podcast episode... if your process differed from when you get those sound clips from the TV shows or movies. And you said one of those things was that you capture in stereo rather than the center channel.
Right.
Did I recount that properly?
You recounted that properly.
Good.
Well done, sir.
Because there's no like surround option for podcast. Yeah. So I just take the stereo and I don't mix it down to mono. But I think I'm going to start mixing it down to mono because here's three...
Mixing down to mono.
Because here's three ones that I marked stereo because it's very obviously stereo.
This is a new segment called...
very obviously.
Dan's making some sort of point, but he's going to present the evidence first to convince us before he like sort of officially
the
makes a point.
The story.
Okay.
He's hinting.
Sorry. Sorry.
So that was in stereo. I don't know if you can tell on this one, but
sorry. Sorry.
This is in stereo.
Hello.
And then
if I didn't know better,
I'd say we were back in Tashkent.
That's definitely
those
stereo.
Those are all stereo.
Could you tell them all coming from different directions?
Yeah.
Okay, so they were all stereo.
Everything was stereo, but these were ones where the stereo was apparent.
Yes, and they and I've noticed that and we complimented the sound design last week. The sound design includes a lot of spatial sounds.
Yeah,
When you're wearing headphones, or as I mentioned earlier, driving in the car, you really feel the space of the story, which is helpful given that we don't see the visuals. We just hear somebody say like, "And more, and more of the thinking," and the boar is like. Blah, but they use the stereo effect to help enhance
And I think the stereo is good in the podcast form, but I think when we do the sounds here, I still hold that it might be better to make a mono
for clarity.
Just because it's out of context, it's confusing to have them come from different directions
okay.
for some reason.
Now, did you monoize some of them demonstrate this?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I had
monetized.
I didn't.
I had expected that you had done this, and this was the point you were making. You were going to play. This is the stereo. I thought you were going to make a new game called Stereo or Mono, and then you were going to ask Jesse and I.
Okay,
which was stereo.
Well, we already played
a
game.
Mono.
We already played a game, and next week. Oh, by the way, Jesse, when we went to break, you were like, you said something to the effect of like, when we come back, we'll give each other a hard time or something like that. I'm sorry, man. I wasn't trying to give you a hard time.
Is this an episode of revisiting Jesse, but like in real time.
It's all good. I was just being funny.
We should probably talk about this episode. We haven't talked about it that much.
We've talked about most of this episode. We said it was good.
Yeah, we said it was good.
We said it was exciting.
Yeah,
there's boars.
Yeah, the Ivan and the boars. People die.
There's some kids like canoodling.
Silvana, like, she wanted to like.
Which made me think of Sylvan elves.
Yeah.
She wanted to, like, she was, like, making out with freaking
Richter
the whole time. When they said, when Connor was like, where's Richter? And then I think it was Ivan said, his head's in the clouds. I knew immediately that meant he was an artist of some kind. Because it's like, his head's in the clouds. I was like, that means he's an artist. Because he's, like, not concerned with, like, all the death surrounding him. He's only concerned with, like, looking at the beautiful world. I knew they were going to make him an artist character, and I was right.
Which is interesting because they name him Richter, which if I recall correctly, which I may not.
There's an artist named Richter.
In German, maybe that's where they get it from. Because in German, Richter means either, I forget if it's judge or lawyer or something. You know, it's like, it's about the law.
The law.
But if there's an existing artist, a visual artist, Jesse, named Richter.
There is,
Do you know his first name?
Gerard Richter.
Gerard Richter.
Something like
that. Not to be confused with Gerard Depardieu.
No, not at all.
From that movie or from that other movie. From that sexual harassment.
Is it like Take It to the French or something? What's that?
Yeah. No, Dan, you got it right on the first try. Gerard Depardieu famously starred in that 1990 movie, Take It to the French. Yeah.
He was in like Danton.
He's one of the weirdest, sexiest figures, like, in don't the French find sexiest. Him, like irresistible?
I'm not 100% sure about
not
that.
Not sure about that.
Because the success he had in movies was in America.
I mean, I can understand Javier Bardem, because he's pretty
very
sure. Yeah, but Gerard Depardieu, I never saw it.
I'm not sure that anybody has ever thought Gerard Depardieu is sexy other than him.
No, I think the French find him very sexy.
You think the French? Okay. We do have listeners in France.
I don't know if we do
We do, according to the stats. So if you're one of our listeners in France, and we know you're out there, write into us and let us know whether or not you personally find Gerard Depardieu sexy.
What if their lies flatter me better than your truth?
A line I liked.
Yeah.
I did. He has a lot of great lines.
This is a very well-written episode.
Yeah, there was also
the character of Khan, they're doing a great job.
I love when he's talking shit to the boar.
That's right. Yeah. Look here. I am the one who gave the order to slay your mate. Yeah. Your quarrel is with me.
I am the one who gave the order to slay your mates.
try doing that with a muffin mouth.
Next time on Muffin Mouth. Yeah.
I did a good job.
Yeah.
Very good.
I do not fear the creatures of this world. It is they who should fear me.
He's cocky, man. He's trying to force it. He's saying, like, you know, it's like, yeah, you should fear the creatures here, but he's like, no, I won't do it. It's not going to happen. It's like, well, that is, if you're not going to fear them, that's stupid, because you should fear them. You can't just declare that you're not scared of them and therefore nothing bad will happen. But, that's when bad things do happen.
You better be afraid.
But what's interesting is that's how he acts and behaves and talks.
Steady eels.
In front of the larger
Steady
group.
Eels.
The larger group. But he has a bit of a different attitude when he's talking privately with Marla MacGyver's, or even I'd argue when he's talking with Ivan and Hugo and others, he code switches in a sense, but with Marla MacGyver's he really does seem to be more open, even though he's resistant. He's more open to speaking with her on the same level. And in this episode, I do find it really fascinating how Marla MacGyver's herself kind of brings up, she's all like, you don't, I mean, like, I'm not genetically whatever, and you seem to be, like, digging this. Mm-hmm. And I think Khan himself is somewhat confused by that.
Lieutenant Marla MacGyver's.
And it's strengthened by that fact. Remember, he has that discussion with, Joaquin, who talks about, like, hey, I was banging that regular old gal.
Yeah.
And at first, she was just like a good lay.
Yeah, she was happy to be my... Yeah.
She was an eager bedmate. But just like Scheherazade, eventually I fell in love with her. I'm Joaquin.
Seti dactyls.
Seti what?
Not ferns.
Anyway, I just am really impressed with all that characterization that they've set up. I think that's the main serious point that it was important for us to get across here.
Serious
points.
Yeah. I did have this parts list, but we kind of maybe are already kind of just doing it. I don't know.
Doing it, baby.
Why don't you just skip, kind of like go through it quickly.
Doing it
okay,
well.
Okay, so part one is MacGyver's talking about how Khan hates her and Hugo is dead. Because she's all like, oh, he hates me, and then he appears out of nowhere. He's ordering her to join the survey party, which is like his way of trying to like make up with her, you know.
You gotta hang out with me.
And then part two is Khan, Joaquin, and Ivan are just like noticing the wildlife. They think it's similar, but Erica says it isn't. She noticed that there's like some kind of fern that has some that looks like normal ferns, but then it has some spikes.
Poison
spikes. She's talking about how like the red and blueberries are edible. I don't know how she knows that.
Well, maybe she's got a scanner.
Oh, she might have a scanner.
Well,
I thought Marla was the only one with technology.
Well, Eric,
didn't they give him some scanners?
No, yeah, they gave him a few.
I got
the impression they left him with some shit.
A package of tools.
Yeah, but like, but then Khan says,
a lesser man might feel threatened by your admittedly advanced technology, but not I.
See, and he said that to Marla MacGyver's, which implies that he doesn't have that technology.
Well, in my notes here, I have Erica is super dorky and awesome about these plants.
Yeah, about the plants.
One of my favorite things in Star Trek is when they elevate the awesomeness of being super into some niche nonsense.
But she's got to get a little more creative with her names. Like the Seti Dactyls was clever, but then it was like Seti everything. Yeah. You know? But she was pretty awesome about
this. Is Seti Alpha 5.
It's true.
It is.
But we don't call them like Earth apples and Earth.
Actually,
that's what I call
them.
They do.
In many other languages.
That's what they call potatoes.
Yeah. Earth potatoes are Earth apples.
Well, I'm not talking about. Don't they call poops butt potatoes though?
That's what I call them.
Well, so like apple used
I'm not
to be
talking
a generic
about,
term
but,
for
see, you're
fruit.
Doing it, but you're doing it again. I wasn't talking about potatoes. I'm talking about apples.
Yes, I know. I'm providing information.
but you're giving information that's not quite the same. I was talking about specifically about apples.
That's still
valid. But
now
you're talking about potatoes. I said they don't call them Earth apples. Earth apples. They call potatoes Earth apples, but they don't call apples Earth apples. That's the point I was making. Okay. They don't simply add Earth in front of the thing.
All right.
But no, you can make your point. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk shit on your point.
No, it's all right. I didn't convey it. I didn't interpret it as you talking shit on my point.
Sometimes I think I go too far.
Sometimes.
And sometimes maybe you do.
Hey.
But that's not up to us to judge.
Sometimes
you just
I
did.
Get carried
no,
away.
No. I didn't judge. I am Incapable. I don't see, you know how when people say I don't see color, which is of course silly, I don't see whatever it is you're doing.
You know, you have to
whatever this is, I don't see it.
And that's not silly.
When you selectively agree with me to make me look bad, I can see what you're doing.
I see what you're doing.
Very confused by that statement.
I see what you're doing. I know your game.
When you selectively agree with me to make me look bad.
You know what?
You selectively agree with me.
I agree with you, Dan. And that makes you look stupid because of this. Anyway, linguistically, apple just used to mean fruit.
Right. Like not, worm.
Not just the apple.
Worm was just any old critter.
But I wouldn't call this an Earth Red Bull. I wouldn't call an apple an Earth Apple.
You're picking up the Fuji apple and ginger flavored, winter flavor of Red Bull.
It's good.
I know these are evergreen episodes of the podcast, but we're giving away a secret here. Yep. It is winter time.
Well,
winter Red Bulls are out.
So this is when we find out we introduced to Richter. Marla offers her services over technology.
What list am I? Now, this is an eight-point list, and we're on what, point four?
Point two.
Oh, point two.
See, I said each one is a little deeper.
What?
Khan is like, we should learn this place, and then this is the surveying. They're hungry. Mm-hmm. They go hunting. Okay.
Can I make a brief point here?
Yeah.
All right, good. We're using your list as scaffolding for an interesting conversation.
That's true.
Yes.
And so, right. And so I know,
The purpose of these lists, if this wasn't apparent to the audience thus far, after 314 episodes, that's the purpose of
this. Yeah, I know, but some of these parts get a little verbose, which is why I quickly go through it.
Podcast scaffolding.
So maybe we can discuss after I say a few things.
Yes.
That way we can get through it quickly.
The very minor point that I make that directly relates to this point is, say it again, they're talking about looking at the animals and shit, right? The flora and the fauna. I really enjoyed that the writers are leveraging the fact that the majority of people listening to this know the fate of these people, and they specifically know this fate of SETI Alpha 5.
Mm-hmm. SETI Alpha 5.
And that makes this exuberance about recording, nerding out and recording the flora and fauna, there's this extra weight added to it, because on the surface it's just young people having fun, excited to do science, which is awesome.
Kids having fun.
We know this plant is going to fucking blow up, or not blow up, but it's going to get fucked up. And all these plants and animals that they're recording and nerding out about are going to die. Right. And so that's like, we know all these animals, this type, the species of boar is going to go extinct. The SETI dactyls or whatever they're fucking called is going to go extinct.
SETI dactyls.
SETI what?
SETI what? The not ferns are going to go extinct. Like most of this
not
stuff.
Not ferns.
Most of this stuff, except for the evil monster brain worms.
Yeah. Face worms?
Is going to get fucked up.
Face worms.
Earworm. Okay. Point made. Back to the list.
Oh, I remember. It was when I said, sometimes I think I go too far. And you're like, Dan, I completely agree with you. Sometimes you go too far. That's when you selectively agree
with
me.
Did I say I completely agree with you?
No, I mean, I might have editorialized that a
bit. But completely isn't selectively.
Well, I editorialized. I was just saying he completely agreed with that one point, which is, anyway, that's just what I meant.
Now I understand
now
you, better.
Now I understand. Now you're picking up what I'm putting down. Okay.
Now we know.
Number three, Richter, Silvana, and Erica are in the woods. Erica's worried about the SETI dactyls, and Silvana's worried about making out with Richter. They find a big bug. That was number three.
They find a big bug.
They find a big bug.
And we know what it is, but they don't. They're all not taking it seriously. They're just like, that was a crazy old bug.
Big bug.
Did y'all see this crazy bug out there?
If I see a big bug, I'm getting right
out
of there.
The fuck
I don't care.
I was like, where is there going to be?
Man, if I see horseshoe crabs, I get the fuck out. I know horseshoe crabs are harmless, but those things are
freaky. Yeah, but you don't want to hang around with
one. They're freaky. You ever turn one of those? I never turn one upside down because I never touch the damn things.
Fucked up.
But you see what they look like underneath.
They're monsters.
Yeah.
Monsters.
Four, Khan, Joaquin, and Ivan are wandering around. Ivan says something about being in Tashkent. they're noticing the wildlife and how similar it is. That's when Erica says it's a bit different because she knows about this shit. Number five, Silvana wants to make out with Richter.
And she touches his penis at one point.
Yeah. Seems like.
Like the audio, the writing, the sound design, everything was designed to say that this person is touching this other person's genitals at this point, and they're giggling, and it's cute.
Oh, yes. Sounds wonderful for the children.
But
what?
Stop.
So this is the second time Silvana's making out with Richter. Richter's drawing, and then Marla interrupts them to the chagrin of Silvana. Mm-hmm. So she's all bummed out, but Richter, as he's a usual artist, seems detached and unaware.
And he's all like,
Pictures isn't good enough. I gotta draw a picture that evokes the feeling of looking at this plant.
Yeah, and Sylvanas continues to want to make out with him, so she's not happy about that.
She's like, quit your drawing. And, yeah, let's
make out. Let's make babies.
Why don't you see what I got?
I tug on your wiener.
Marla compliments his work. Sylvanas pissed and tries to get rid of her. Marla leaves, and then Sylvanas talks shit, and then he's like, she's Khan's woman, be nice.
Yeah.
And then he relates to Marla because he too was an outsider, mm-hmm. being nerdy artist and all.
So. I like the fact that we have differing opinions among the Khan followers. They are not all in lockstep.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about this last week.
And we continue to do so.
Well done. That Khan perceives he has more control than he in fact does, because this is more the case last week, where we have specific characters saying one thing in front of Khan and one thing in private, and not just Hugo. Hugo was maybe the most egregious in terms of sort of going against Khan, but he was also seemed like a dickhead that people just didn't want to deal with, even though he kind of sounded right.
His name is Hugo.
But most of these characters have said different things to Khan than they've talked about behind his back.
Ivan is arguably more dangerous than Hugo.
Well, yeah.
So we'll see, though. Yeah. I could be wrong about that, too. I've already been wrong twice.
I'm right there with you, Dan.
Right on.
And for folks in the audience, if we did, because I don't think we made it clear this week, we did last week, we have not been listening ahead to future episodes.
No, we have not.
Even though we have access to
them. We're taking it a week at a time.
It's
more fun that way.
We're simulating listening to it.
Stimulating.
Over the course of many weeks.
So, numbers. Oh, I was wrong. There's a few more than 8 points.
is one of your points about Khan making fun of Ivan for farting?
No, that's not a direct point. Okay.
But we're gonna get to that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to the whole farting business in a little bit here.
Yeah, there's the whole
Dan's looking for a sound clip.
Ivan, you know I've forbidden the use of chemical weapons on civilians.
That's clever. That's pretty clever.
Yeah.
That's good. We're rolling with it. Good improv. Good, yes ending is fart.
Do you think that Saddam Hussein ever made that joke, and then later on
I think he did.
Later on somebody was like, dude, you're totally undermining the punchline of that joke you made a couple of years ago. You're using
chemical weapons.
You're using chemical weapons. That's not cool. Like, that joke was funny, but it's only funny like in the context of you not using. Anyway, I don't want to
speak for yourself.
I don't want to reopen 1990s political stuff.
When I went to when I visited Spain when I was like 13, and like it was a small town in Spain, and like I was surrounded by all these small town Spaniards, I guess, is that?
Well, that's this. That's what they call them. The demonym.
The audience can't see that. Dan looks weirdly guilty.
I don't know.
I don't think that's a pejorative.
I just somehow made myself sound more ignorant.
Yeah, it's like wasn't there some show where somebody was like talking about Mexicans? And like, don't call them that.
Yeah, right. But they were all asking me like various questions. One of the questions they asked me was like, what do you think about Saddam Hussein? Like, they're asking me all these, like, because I was the only American.
Or did they ask you, what do you think about Saddam Hussein?
It was near Barcelona.
Barcelona?
Wow. Yeah.
But like, they were asking me, because I was like, when we visited, we were like the only Americans they'd seen in like 200 years or something. But like, because like, it was a really.
Did they ask you if you're from California?
It was in La Figuerosa, which was a small, like, castle desert town thing. It wasn't a real castle, but it was like one building spanning the town. It's hard to explain, but it was very small towny.
Word.
And anyways, they didn't see Americans that much, so they slung a bunch of like American pointed questions at me, like,
how many
guns
do you
have? Saddam Hussein, yeah, shit like that. So I felt very on the spot.
Yeah.
Are you from New York City?
New York City.
Get it,
so number. It's a commercial.
Is that Old El Paso? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Old El Paso?
Or
for the salsa?
Yeah, it was. I know it was salsa.
It was from, like, I thought it was like Pace.
Pace picante sauce.
Old El Paso, thick and chunky.
Wait, that's not it.
Yeah, Old El Paso sauce.
Is that their slogan?
Old El Paso. No, it was just part of the song. There was a jingle. It was like, okay. Old El Paso,
thick and chunky.
And they were referring to the salsa.
Not their diarrhea or whatever. I mean, I did it again. I potty talked.
Yeah, I was going to say diarrhea was not the first thing. I thought of a few gross things. Diarrhea was not on that list. Mayhaps it ought to have been.
I still have not broken my streak of potty talk. I'm trying to not talk about potties for an episode.
I mean, last episode you did really well until the last 10 seconds you started just screaming about
because it was duty and no duty. Wow. But I couldn't hold it in any longer. Wow. Said the person with diarrhea. Okay, so it's number six. Joaquin and Khan are hunting. Apparently, it's going to take them a week to get home. There's like 72 kilometers from home or something crazy.
Damn, that's a long way.
Joaquin points out that it would be half that time if it weren't for Marla, because she's not an aunt.
It's just funny to think of all these. I think they're meaning to imply that they can just like they have more endurance. But in my mind, and I think kind of you have to think of it as practically what they're actually saying is that when the augments walk, they walk all like quick. They're like super skitter, like weird little like fucking ants or some shit, or like the, scuttling around,
or like the Benny Hill shit. Yeah. That's how they walk around.
You know what, Dan? That's a less horrifying image than I had of humans scuttling about like cockroaches.
But then when I think of the Benny Hill shit, I think of Sam Neill and Merlin when they do that fast forward thing. And that was a TV series back years.
That's a good one. That
had the same
Benny for TV Merlin.
But it had the same Benihana effect, except it was creepy and not funny.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Benny Hill. Yes, Benny Hill. Benny Hill. Benny Hill.
I wanted to give you the opportunity.
Sorry.
Because the Benihana effect would be something entirely different.
Something I didn't mean
with
that.
With steak or something.
Okay.
Or like an onion ring volcano. Remember they would do that at Benihana? Yeah. They'd stack a bunch of onion rings and pour some fucking sake on that shit, light
it's
it on fire.
It's ridiculous.
Throw some shrimp up in the air.
So,
the 1980s was wild.
So, yeah, just talking about Khan speaking differently around people, he admits to Joaquin that he kind of implies/admits that he brought her out because he wants to make up with her, Marla, you know. Then Richter's talking about Talia and how people objected to their joining. No, I'm sorry, not Richter.
Yeah. No, that's Joaquin.
Joaquin's talking about Talia and how they...
Who's a regular old human that he had relations
she
with.
She was an eager bedmate.
And he made the baby with her.
Eager bedmate. Yeah. It turns out all this time Ivan was doing the real hunting. Mm-hmm. And they get into a super battle and they win the super battle. And then that's when Khan reprimands Ivan for being, careless. Ivan's talking about how stabbing is clean or kill. Ivan's like, stabbing is
clean. He's a madman.
They head back. Seven, Erica and Marla are looking over animals and categorizing them or something. Then they notice that Richter and Savannah are making out. Then Khan shows up and wants Richter to sketch something, but he's still making out with Savannah, so he can't. Yeah. And it's funny, they're all like, I don't want to embarrass them. They should totally keep making out. But it's getting kind of late, you know, basically. Yeah. So I like their attitude towards sex. I mean, they do have to repopulate the place, sure. But it's just kind of funny. It's like everyone knows they're fucking their brains out, and no one's like, ew.
Well,
I guess that's what mature adults do, is they go, you know.
They're superhuman.
As we learned in the previous episode, all the eggs got stolen from the augment people by the evil human people, regular human people. So
I just think about
just practicing.
I just think about like the whole stereotypical thing as a kid being brought up and being like, oh, our parents can't know we made out, you know. And then, but in this world, that doesn't matter because it makes sense. They need to repopulate. But it's still there's a dissonance between what I know makes sense here versus what we as kids face in our lives, because we are not tasked with repopulating the earth. So it's just funny that there's that separation of expectations.
We weren't on like City Alpha 5. Yeah.
Right. Also, I just want to clarify something. I don't think my parents had a problem with me like
making out. No,
people.
I'm sorry.
At an appropriate age.
No, my parents didn't have a problem with me making out either. But like there is this sense of like, I don't want my parents to know I'm like, you know, getting busy. Yeah. Like when I'm getting busy, I don't want them.
What do you mean? Do you mean French kissing? Do you mean
French kissing?
Like a little over the pan.
Look,
like,
we know we're talking
over the pan.
I mean, we're not getting into this conversation.
Rub them ups.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Look, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Classic. It's got Star Trek.
And look, maybe your family was a little different because your mom is more European than
she. Okay, my mom is more European than your mom in the sense that my mom is from Europe.
From Europe. Yeah. Well,
originally from Europe.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Point being,
came here in 1978.
Look, there's. I'm just saying that, like,
that's where I came here.
It's. I'm just saying, like, you know, there's the whole, like, you know. Leave the door open so you're not going to make a baby by accident. But here they're like, what? Leave the door open so we can watch you make a baby is what they're doing on their. They don't want to watch them do it, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just saying it's like there's less
stigma
attached to it. And I'm saying it makes sense. I'm not saying it's weird. No, I'm just saying it's interesting the dissonance between the different realities and goals that we have in our reality versus their reality.
Or at least in your upbringing.
And many's upbringing.
Many people. To quote Dan, and many. I'm sorry. And.
I don't understand what I'm doing wrong.
You got to fight this guy. Right?
And many's upbringing.
I didn't mean to. I just.
I apologize.
If your intention is to heal, you might take care not to make the wound bigger.
I selectively agree with you on that point, Dan.
Don't do that. Selectively
agree.
All right.
So anyway, I'm just saying, there's just this difference, you know.
Yeah. Is that the conclusion of the list?
No, there are more.
All right, let's continue the list then.
Okay. They have...
Don't worry about Jesse.
They have meat and they cut it up. Khan and Marla have a playful conversation about who will carry the leftovers home. They're getting closer again, Khan and Marla. They're getting closer again. Number eight, they're having dinner and being merry. Ivan's bad at stories. Khan gets Marla to tell the story of Scheherazade. Marla wants Khan to tell a story.
He gets all pissed off.
Yeah, Khan's insulted by her insinuation that he is the vanquished. He's all insecure about that.
You embarrass me in front of my friends.
Yeah, she pushes him to tell more about his side of the story to defend against his detractors, but he starts getting pissed. Maybe he thinks she's manipulating him into revealing secrets, or maybe he doesn't like the idea of him being thought of as a piece of shit. Maybe he feels that defending his actions makes him look weak or something like that. Well, but he doesn't like the whole
thing. It's part of why I really like that line about maybe their lies are like make me look better than whatever truth you'll interpret. Because you could see that, you could see him thinking like about the history, being like, "Oh, they saw me as this horrific world, like I was going to take over the world if they didn't get rid of me."
Yeah.
That's probably pretty good for the ego.
Mm-hmm. Probably,
yeah, probably.
I bet. All
right. No one wants to be thought of as a piece of shit, and especially Khan, who thinks he's doing like this good thing, right? And Marla does seem a bit insensitive of that, and it's Joaquin tells her that she doesn't have his trust yet to be
Joaquin.
She's like, she doesn't know him like that again yet.
No.
Number nine, Richter, Silvana, and Erica are out in the woods.
Previously, you said this was an 8-point list.
I know. I said there were a few more. You must have missed that part.
I don't think I missed it. I think I misinterpreted it.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Erica's worried about the SETI dactyl. Silvana's worried about making out with Richter. They find a big bug. Oh, wait, I think I said that one already, didn't I?
That's okay.
It's okay.
What's the next one?
Wait a second.
You're hammering at home.
Wow, I don't know why I have that twice. That's really weird.
Are you in one of those time loops?
Maybe.
Like what Jordy's always talking about? It's like, we could have been here an hour, a day, or a thousand years.
Well, that's embarrassing because that made my clever line about Silvana is worried about making out with Richter. That made that seem so much less clever now that I said it twice, because now it's revealed that I had that pre-written.
Well, I mean, was it not apparent earlier that it was pre-written?
This is you being you again.
I honestly don't recall.
This is Patrick being Patrick.
I can't pay attention to everything.
Were we led to believe that you weren't an idiot before? Were we led to believe that you had something smart to say before?
I don't.
I'm sorry. I just didn't know that you were being smart before. I thought you were purposefully being stupid.
The problem is, I'm all about living in the now. And that's good in some senses, but it makes it difficult to recall things that happened a minute or two ago.
Yeah. I mean, some people call that attention deficit disorder.
Some people might. If you are one of those people, write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
So number 10, I guess it's 9 because I repeated 9 and made my joke less clever or my clever witty line. Ivan takes a watch.
Give me a watch. And this watch was up my ass for 2 years.
I stick it up my ass.
Khan
apologized to Marla about, you know, the whole thing. There's anger. He's like, I'm not accustomed to self-reflection, particularly in public. So this is kind of a hint that his confidence and optimistic demeanor might be a bit fraudulent. Because he's talking about, I'm not accustomed to self-reflection that you're demanding. Yes. And so he's got a lot to hide, really. They talk about his rule, and he says his rule was earned, but she points out that his rule is following a dangerous path where governance is essentially dictated by the mighty, whether he earned it or not. And he gets pissed by that, and he's like, you're pissing me off.
And I think that's part of what this, you've piqued my interest about this whole Ivan business, and I think now that you mentioned that, I'm going to pay more attention to this Ivan business, because it seems like they've inserted him there in part, as I said before, to be like a heel character in some sense, but like a sticky wicket, but also to sort of prove the point that no matter how benevolent Khan thinks he is, he relies on people who may not be so benevolent. With the whole with the whole Boar thing, it seems like they're setting Ivan up to be kind of like a fucked up guy,
black ops kind of guy.
He's not just good at killing, he like enjoys it. He was like, I want to fucking kill this Boar the old school
way. Maybe that's good for Khan, because he can plead ignorance or whatever while still getting done what he wants to. Okay, I'll see if I zip through this, because she brings up the betrayal on Space Seed. And her insecurity,
recontextualizing it in a very interesting way.
So her insecurity, starting at the beginning when she got mad that Khan's dude started moving her shit without asking her at the beginning of the first episode, she was insecure about that. And she was insecure at the beginning of this one too, about how they look at her with mongrel eyes, or I don't know. Did she say that or something?
No. They look at her mongrel eyes, mongrel eyes.
Well,
that would imply that you're referring.
I know. Okay. Look, I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember.
It's
I know.
Quite all right.
You're laughing at me. You're mocking me. Oh, Dan, that's so cute what you just said. It's so silly and cute.
You said mongrel eyes.
Just like, I'm gonna mock what you said. So he looks at, they're looking at her in a way, and they're looking down on her essentially. Yeah. And she's, this whole time she's been very insecure about the way that she's like, they're going to treat me like shit. They don't think much of me. But this insecurity stems from what was first hinted at the very beginning of Space Seed, when Kirk didn't even know how to pronounce her name. Yeah. And she was aware of it. Mm-hmm. We find out in this episode that she was aware that he didn't know how to pronounce her name. So she's been feeling this insecurity ever since Kirk. That very beginning when he was like, McGivers?
Yeah.
What is old good for nothing doing right now?
Old good for nothing. I 100% agree. Yeah. Really enjoying this recontextualizing her position on the ship and providing some backstory that justifies why Kirk didn't know her and feeds into his predisposition to not like her for whatever reason.
And he says, and Khan says, I thought you came here because you didn't want to go to prison. And she's like, I came because I wanted to leave prison, basically. Mm-hmm. And she knew he was an asshole when he took the ship, but she was acting like she was into him when she left the Enterprise. Yeah. He may have had her as a backup plan for a procreation, but it seemed like he did care for her, whereas her feelings for him seemed second. Yeah. It seems like his feelings for her were first.
I think
and
that's
her
the
feelings
case.
For him were second. It seems like so, but they both had ulterior motives, but it seemed the order of preference was different.
Manipulation alongside parallel to a convenient actual infatuation.
And Khan admits about that he thinks he's doing things for the greater good. He admits that there are necessary evils that have to be committed, but he hopes that people will just forget about that part and they'll just think about the good shit. Ends justify the means kind of things. He's just like, oh, I hope they forget about all that bullshit.
And he wants to have both, unlike in Batman, one of the Chris Nolan Batmans, you know, where he's like, oh, it's okay. I'll be an asshole and people can think I'm an asshole and that'll suck. But hey, I'll take it on the chin because it'll be better.
Yeah.
Khan doesn't want to do that. He wants to both do the necessary stuff and also be appreciated.
Right. Then it's just the big bug, then the Boar attack, and then they go looking for Richter. And now it ends with them on the Richter search. And then Khan insists on taking Joaquin's body back, even though the most important thing is finding Richter, which is noble in one sense, but like they got to find Richter. And then when Ivan objects, Khan goes, I have spoken, which is basically an admission that he isn't trying to hide the fact that he's a dictator. He's like, no, we're doing this because he says, I have spoken, meaning this is what's happening. I said it. And this may not be the logical thing to do, but this is me. I'm leading this group. So he's admitting that he's the one in charge. Well, he's admitting that he's not really trying to hide sort of his dictatorial attitude, mm-hmm. his dickish attitude. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said before, he arrogantly proclaims that he doesn't fear the world should fear him. Yeah. So, you know, like saying like, no, like he's trying to force all this shit to happen. And he's trying to force himself into this position of power. He's trying to will himself into this position of power. He has a position of power, but he's trying to will it too much at this point.
Actualization. Mm. Yeah. The secret.
Secret.
The secret. Is it secret?
It's a secret. Is it safe? Secret's in the sauce.
The penitent man.
The penitent. Only the penitent man may pass.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
good.
The best part.
All right. We got hit most of the hits. Hamburgers.
Hamburger.
The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Hamburger.
Sprite. Good. All right. Is that the conclusion of your list, Dan?
Yes.
All right.
Not ferns.
Ractigino. Extra sweet. Macabre bread. No
we went a little long today, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Mostly nobody gives a fuck.
We talked about a bunch of bullshit early on.
Yeah, we did.
But it was entertaining.
Yeah, I think so.
And I challenge the audience.
I dare you to tell us we're stupid.
I challenge you.
To tell us it wasn't entertaining.
Don't challenge the internet to do that, because they'll do it.
Next week.
Send
next
a review,
week.
The hell with you.
We will continue. We will continue our coverage of Star Trek Khan.
But what difference would that make?
With episode 3, which is titled, Do Your... Do Your Worst. Do Your Worst.
Speak for yourself, old man.
Do your worst.
Do
your worst.
Do your worst. This is not my impression of a Russian. This is my impression of Ivan specifically.
Yes, we must clarify.
Yeah, right.
At no point during this podcast episode did we do an impression of either a Russian or Eastern European or Slavic person. We have merely done a sort of a caricature, comical a representation of the specific character of Ivan.
Oh, is that bad that I assumed he was Russian?
I think he
was supposed to be.
His name is Ivan.
He did not say specifically. Maybe his name is Ivan. Ivan Ivanovich.
Ivan Ivanovich. Ivanichka. I think it's like if it's a woman, it would be Ivanichka.
Unseti Alpha 5 worm eat you.
It would be Ivan Ivanovich, and if it was a woman, it'd be Ivana Ivanovichka. Yeah. I think that's how it works.
I believe you're correct. Yeah. Good. All right. Yeah.
Stop.
Yes, we should. Let's do that. Next week, do your worst. It's got Star Trek. It's got Star Trek.com, Patreon.com/It's Got Star Trek, YouTube, Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube. That's really.
Do it.
Be really cool if you did that.
Do it.
More Muffin Mouth and all sorts of other stuff coming at you in the future. We'll talk to you again around this time next week. Goodbye.
We have left such things behind where they belong.
There are city dactyls out here. Richter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know about you, but I could use a little break.
I have to finish this.
Finish it later.
Silvana? Where did you put the spade?
Ignore her.
Stop. She's coming this way.
Silvana!
He has an erection.
Yeah. That's all her fault!